You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. The Colts is especially weird this year. They started 0-3. They weren't as bad as we all thought they were at 0-3. Now they're 6-5. They just beat the Bills 41-15, and they're not as good as we think they were yesterday. That's just the way it is. Somewhere in the middle is the truth. Somewhere between 0 and 10 is where this team's going to reside, right in our minds and on the football field. Now, where is that? Is that more toward 4, or is it more toward 7, or maybe 8, or 2? Where is it? Are they going to the playoffs? This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling for Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022-21. We're brought to you by the great people at mybookie.ag. Sign up, use the promo code Kent Sterling, get a cool bonus, refer friends, get more cool bonuses, invest. The last 3 weeks, if you listen to Ivan O'Idle, holy cow, you got well in a hurry, right? Betting against Indiana football has been genius so far this season. Like, that's an investment that has been a no-lose to this point. What about the bucket game? We'll talk about that later in the week. Let's talk about the Colts, and we're going to talk about Hoosier basketball. Butler plays in about an hour. In the Maui Invitational, which again is in Las Vegas, why? They play against Houston. I hate Houston. We'll get into that in a minute. And the Pacers tonight against the Bulls in Chicago. I'll tell you why. The Pacers plus 1.5 might be a pretty good bet. All right, let's talk about the Colts, whether they're going to make the playoffs. Here's what the Colts have going for them. All right, and I've got six things that are serious. Hey, these are going for you type of traits. The offensive game plan is really, really simple, and it's executable by this team because they've got a terrific offensive line, and they have the best back, healthy back, in the NFL today in Jonathan Taylor, who yesterday was awesome, 185 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 through the air. 5 touchdowns. That doesn't happen very often, and previously it had never happened for the Colts. And previously, in the NFL, the history of the NFL, no back has ever run for 175, scored 4 touchdowns on the ground, and won at least one receiving. Ever. Never happened. That's how good Jonathan Taylor is. This, what you do, the game plan is this. You give the ball to Jonathan Taylor a lot. Jonathan, here you go. Jonathan, here you go. All right, let's throw it to T.Y. Hilton. Okay, let's throw it to Michael Pittman, Jack Doyle. But here's some more. Some more carries for Jonathan. Run the football and generate turnovers on the other side of the ball. This defense, before the season started, they said it was their stated goal to generate 40 turnovers, to get 40 takeaways. I thought they were clinically insane. I thought there was something wrong with them. I hate unachievable goals because inevitably you feel like a failure when you don't achieve those goals. This goal, it's achievable. Right now, they're on pace to get to 39 takeaways. That is a lot. Last year, 16-game season, granted, this year's 17 games, 29 led the NFL. Hey, hit subscribe, punch like, ring the bell if you want alerts when we're going to do these live shows. Number two, the Colts started the season, and this is what I just talked about, aiming for 40 turnovers. I think they got a shot to get it. They had four yesterday. How do you beat the Bills? You run the football, and you get them to turn it over. If you're going to play a game like the Colts like to play, where it's going to be about nine possessions per team, and you can take it away a third of those possessions, you got a hell of a chance to win, right? That's a lot. That's a lot of field position you're reclaiming in when they don't have to punt. And yesterday, it was really, really good. And oddly, you would think Buffalo and San Francisco, who the Colts beat up on out there, you would think that these teams would have a bit of an advantage playing in adverse weather conditions because the Colts play in a dome at home. They never play a home game in adverse weather. They go on the road. They are better in bad weather than they are in good weather. And that's unusual for a Colts team. Bill Polian never did that. Number three, they're 6-5. All current wild cards are 6-4. That's 5, 6, and 7. Those seeds, if the season ended today, they're 6-4. That means that the Colts are only a half game back. Number four, the opponents coming up on Thanksgiving weekend for those teams that are ahead of the Colts in the wild card chase. The Colts are going to play Tampa Bay on Sunday. We'll get to that in a minute. But they're the opponents for the other teams that are just ahead of them. Buffalo plays at the Saints short week on Thursday. They travel to New Orleans. New Orleans is 5-5. You've got Pittsburgh at 5-4-1. They're at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 6-4. Both those teams ahead of the Colts, right? One of them's got to lose. So if the Colts beat the Buccaneers, they are going to pick up a game on one of those two teams who are ahead of them. Tennessee is at New England. Now, it's a pipe dream to think that the Colts are going to be able to win the AFC South. It just doesn't make sense. You cannot make that argument. Right now, it's really three games. It's two games, but they've got the tiebreaker. The Titans do. So how would the Colts, with six games remaining, both teams with six, neither have had their bye week, how would the Colts make up that distance? Well, it starts this weekend. If the Titans lose to the Patriots and the Colts are able to beat the Bucs, that lead is then down to one game, and the tiebreaker kind of makes it two. Two in five games, that is a hell of a lot easier to get done than 3-6. You've got the Browns at Baltimore. Browns 6-5, Baltimore 7-3. You've got the Chargers at Denver. Chargers 6-4, at Denver 5-5. So all the teams that are ahead of the Colts in this deal, they got tough games this weekend. Colts have a tough game too. This is a hell of a weekend. Thanksgiving weekend, a tremendous number of really, really good games. And then some absolute stinkers, right? Seems like all the good teams got paired against good teams this week, at least in the AFC, and all the bad teams got paired against all the bad teams. Colts and Buccaneers is going to be really good. And the thing about playing the Buccaneers is that the Buccaneers, they're undefeated in Tampa Bay. They played nine games. They're 6-3. They're 4-0 in Tampa Bay. All right? And they have posted in all four of those games more points offensively than they have in any game they've played on the road. So ranking their offensive productivity by game, the Buccaneers 1, 2, 3, and 4 down in Tampa. On the road, they're 2-3. This is a winnable game for the Indianapolis Colts. Number five, Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, splendid yesterday. He's been great all season long. He leads Chubb In terms of rushing. We're just talking about healthy guys, right? We know Derrick Henry's there at 937, and there he's going to stay for a little while. Jonathan Taylor at 1122. Chubb is in that, I don't know, what is he, 840, 830, something, almost 300 yards clear is Jonathan Taylor from Chubb of the Browns. He has been fantastic. He makes this so easy. Let's give it to Chubb, or let's give it to Jonathan Taylor, right? We don't need Carson Wentz to play hero ball to win football games. As long as Jonathan Taylor is healthy, you got a shot to win games. Teams are going to start selling out against the run, and at some point, the Colts have to find balance, right, and start throwing the ball as Frank Reich likes to at about 50% frequency. That's the way it's going to have to be. And they are healthier now than they've been at any point this year. Colts getting healthy. If Quentin Nelson can find a way to stay ambulatory on that ankle, they're really relatively healthy. Now, the minuses, they're tied for ninth with the Cleveland Browns right now in the AFC. Number two, they're losers of the tie break with the Titans because they lost that game in overtime that they are going to live to regret. Number three, they still have games against the Bucs, Pats, Cards, and Raiders. Those four teams, among the six games that they have remaining, their records combined 27-14. And if the Bucs beat the Giants as they're expected to tonight, 28-14, that is a 667 winning percentage. That makes it tough. And the Titans still have games at home against the Jaguars, 49ers, and Miami. If they win those three games, virtually impossible for the Colts to catch them. They'd have to run the table, and that's going to be really difficult for obvious reasons. The Cardinals, it's going to be tough. That's in Glendale on Christmas Day. All right, so there's the Colts. I love where the Colts are at. This is so much more fun than I thought it might be when they were 0-3. But like I said, you know what? Somewhere between, let's say, 4. They're not going to be worse than a 4. And 8 is where this team is. Yesterday was a 10. The beginning of the season is 0. You know, it's not going to be 0 or 10. Let's talk about Indiana. How good are they? Here are some reasons why they might be a top 4, a legit top 4 team in the Big Ten. You don't think that they're going to leapfrog Purdue. Purdue looks awesome early in the season, by the way. Michigan, really, really good. Michigan State looked great against Butler. Ohio State, not bad. Illinois looks pretty good. The Big Ten, always kind of, to break into the top 4 of the Big Ten, you got to do some heavy lifting. What makes us think this is going to be possible? Trace Jackson Davis is a first-team All-American. If you are going to be a really good team, you need a really good player, at least one. Trace Jackson Davis is a really good player. Right now, they are number 2 nationally in effective field goal defense. That's tremendous. Last night, we saw it, and we'll get to that in a minute. They are number 1 in college basketball, all 353 teams. They're number 1 in 2-point field goal defense against. Really, really good defense. This is a team that where Mike Woodson came in, and he fixed that defense like that. Whap! And that's how you do it. That's all you have to... Defending is not that difficult. What it is effort. You coach effort, you hold people accountable to consistent effort, and what do? They either perform or they get lost. This team has performed. Depth, Indiana can go 11 deep, and that's not including Duncan, who we really haven't seen play a lot, or Anthony Leal, who we did see play some last night. Leal can flat shoot, but he doesn't look like a rotational guy for this team. They allowed Louisiana last night only 44 points while committing 27 turnovers and allowing 21 offensive rebounds. Imagine what happens when they clean that crap up. Are you kidding me? Going to be fantastic, right? 27 turnovers. That's 3 times as many as you ought to have. And the offensive rebounds, I mean, how can you blame Indiana? Louisiana missed almost 60 field goal attempts. They missed almost 60 shots. That's a lot. That's a lot of bad shots, or a lot of, you know, deflected shots, blocked shots, altered shots. Somehow or another, Louisiana didn't convert almost 60 times. Mike Woodson is hard to please. He is inscrutable, which I love about him, right? Yeah, like you can't, he doesn't look happy ever. I don't want happy coaches. I don't want, I don't want this guy coaching my team. What are you kidding? You know, hey, come on guys, get in a stance. Stop it. Act like an adult. Demand that your players act like an adult. There you got a coach. This is what Mike Woodson does. IU held Louisiana 25 straight misses. You ever seen that in your life? 25 straight missed field goal attempts. I never heard of it. First grade basketball, I never heard of it. Seventh grade, ninth grade, girls basketball, boys basketball, donkey basketball. I've never heard of 25 straight missed shots. And they found a way to get that win against St. John's when it could have fallen apart. Last year, it would have fallen apart. This year, it didn't fall apart. That's a really good thing for Indiana. They look like a team that's going to rely on their defense to close games, and that's how you close games. Butler, like I said, tonight, in fact, in about 45 minutes in the Maui Invitational by way of Vegas, makes a lot of sense. I hate Houston because of Kelvin Sampson. I root against Houston with every bit of enthusiasm than I root for Indiana, Butler, or Purdue ever. So this is easy. I'm rooting for Butler and all the way against Houston. Pacers-Bulls tonight, 8 o'clock. The Bulls are a 1.5-point favorite. They played last night at the United Center. They got a win against the Knicks. Pacers, they didn't play last night. Pacers played really, really well against the Pelicans after Rick Carlisle got their attention. I think that the Pacers win this game outright. I love the Pacers plus 1.5. Tomorrow, Indiana, Jackson State at Simon Scott Assembly Hall, 7 o'clock on BTN, as long as there's not a girls' volleyball game that may drag into the Indiana game. As long as we don't have to deal with preemption on BTN because of women's volleyball, Indiana is going to play Jackson State on our TVs. Won't that be nice? Nice of the people at the Big Ten Network to give us an opportunity to watch Indiana play basketball at the expense of maybe Penn State and Maryland playing women's volleyball. What are they doing? Like, this is programming 101. You give your viewers or your listeners what they want. It's just that easy. I'm going to give you what you want tomorrow morning. It's just that easy. Breakfast with Kent, bright and early. Subscribe, like, ring the bell. Let's go. It's all on now. We got seasons all over the place. Colts, Hoosiers, Bulldogs, Boilers, Pacers.